Hello, everyone. Once again, you're here, Drinks with Friends, with your host, Madison Ray.
Hey, that guy, right? What's popping, everybody? It's a brisk Sunday.
Spring is upon us, my man.
Something like it.
Listen, I drove here with the windows down, bumping some really obscene hip-hop music.
Nice.
To keep, you know, keep property values low.
Yeah.
Scare my...
fight off gentrification.
Yeah, that's right.
I got you.
Scare my suburban neighbors just a little bit. That's how I know spring is here.
Every time I come to your house, I play the most hit shit I can.
Yo, like, we gotta, you know,
I gotta do it. Especially because you got that Trump supporter like across the street from you. So I play like YG's "Fuck Donald Trump" like loud as shit every time I come to your house. And the remix.
And the remix.
Both versions, just to let you know, like, they felt strongly enough about the sentiment to make it twice.
Yeah. Listen, we ain't fucking around here.
That's right.
I had to explain earlier this week, like, what it really means to, like, flex on them hoes.
Oh, yeah?
Like...
To whom did you have to explain this?
We're not going to name names. Oh. But there was definitely the question of, like, so why you got to flex on these hoes? Like, bitch, like, why am I not flexing on these hoes? Like, every day I'm flexing on these hoes. Like, I step out the door, I'm flexing on hoes. Right. Like...
That's your responsibility
legit.
As an adult.
As
an adult.
That's a rite of passage.
It's a destiny fulfilled, okay?
Right.
The flex on all the hoes.
Yeah.
But of course, this podcast is made possible by our friends at Android DSM, Power Up.
And Susie Sweet Treats, secret greeting is love, not cocaine. I told somebody yesterday that the secret greeting was cocaine.
And sales spiked 25%.
They did not believe me. they thought it was worth the risk. So,
I got a birthday coming up.
Yep.
And I talked to Susie about possibly, fingers crossed, pineapple upside down cheesecake. Cheesecake is her specialty. I've never had pineapple upside down cake. I figured just two birds, one stone this thing and just get it taken care of.
That might be a little much for your first time out.
It's not.
Okay.
Trust, it's not. I flex on hosts.
Are you
professionally?
I hope you're going to share it with people, otherwise you might die.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm at a point in my life where I'm definitely like open to
all the,
thinking
all
about
the
sharing.
Recent cheesecakes she's made have been like the big cheesecakes.
Oh. Thing. Like, kind of like the Costco size.
Right.
Gotcha.
Like, she got some new pans, some new springform pans, and she's flexing on these.
It's all good. I got sweatpants.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You might just want to go pantsless with it.
just walking around in underwear.
Donald ducking into the party.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Is that a thing, Donald ducking?
Yeah. Or Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, yeah.
All kinds of cute animated characters.
I'm just going to go full Bugs Bunny and just wear gloves.
Let they nuts hang.
Just walk just around.
Just one glove.
Driving gloves. Just, you know.
That's all right, so not a bad idea.
I'm saying, I flex on hosts professionally. So
on the IRS statement, like, profession, I'll flex it.
I'll flex it, yeah. Yeah. Wait till you see my tax return this year. It's going to be amazing. So for all of our listeners who are hearing these extra voices, we have some special guests. Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves.
Hey, I'm Charlie Reese.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back.
They let me back. I didn't offend them too much the last time.
We made him sign a...
Yeah. NDA.
There's a whole thing.
There's a whole NDA, yeah.
That's good. I'm Josh Visnapoo. We'll spell it later.
We share that.
It'll be a test.
Growing up, did you ever have that problem in school where just like you get a substitute teacher or even just your regular teacher is like looking at like
Josh V?
Like Josh V. It's me. Fine.
Yeah, no shit.
But I wanted to get to the poo at the end. Like,
those
were the cool teachers.
You should stare people down and make them try and
put ooh, that's a good idea.
Go ahead.
I think it's the next chapter of your life.
It's a lot of fun. Like, people are like, oh, where's that from? Like, take a guess. And you know, because the way I look, they get everything from, like, Italian, Samoan, whatever.
Yeah.
One time a person got, like, country next door. Because it's an unusual name. And it's I'm adopted, so it's not like, this is not represented.
Yeah.
That name. So it's
that's even better. Like trying to like look at you and be like, where are you from? Where could this possibly
like where's your mind going?
Spoiler alert. Adopted.
Yeah, but yeah, one time a person guessed Lithuania, I'm like, oh, you are good. It's Estonian, so like that's like right there.
Someone's well traveled.
Yeah, that's impressive. Because like I can promise you that like Lithuania is not on my list. It's not on the top 25. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? No. Like, there's no way at any point I've been like,
I can meet any person off the street ever and not guess that. That would not be one of the countries I'd be like, oh, you must be. Yeah.
You must be.
You know what, though? That would be a lot of fun, just like pull those obscure countries, and when people are like, oh, where are you thinking from?
Like Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia.
Like, Malta?
Malta. Actually,
no,
they're all from Malta.
See? Y'all don't even know.
She's Canadian. Her dad was born in Malta.
So what have you guys been working on? We know, okay, so let's back it up a little bit. You're working on a new show.
We are.
Yes.
Yeah, both of us.
Both together.
Yeah.
As actors?
Yeah.
Is Charlie on stage?
Charlie's on stage again. Seems like every time I come on here, I'm on stage in some capacity.
Yeah. Weird. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And I haven't the been two on times stage I've been here. In 2 years.
Yeah.
Since the last time I cast myself.
Listen, man.
You gotta get your roles where you can get them.
Flexing on hose. Yes. Step one. Believe in yourself.
I gotta get this guidebook. I'm a married man, but I gotta get this guidebook.
Yeah, flex. Listen, hose is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. The hose does not have anything to do with gender or,
oh, right,
or anything like
yeah
that.
Yeah.
It's like, for me, like, bitches, like, that has absolutely nothing to do with the equipment you were born with or elected to have.
Yeah.
Anybody can be a bitch. Anybody can be a hoe. It's just...
Anything could be a bitch.
That's
anything
true
could be a hoe.
That's true.
Like my whole ass car out there right now. Like,
yeah.
I gotta change the, I gotta, what is it, flush the, like, power steering fluid?
Oh, yeah.
That's whole ass car.
Go flex on it.
Yeah, listen, I gotta flex on my fucking car.
Like, I'm a son of a bitch every time I leave my sunglasses out. Every single time. Like, I get in the car, I'm like, oh, this bitch. Yeah. And my son's like, who? Like, wait, shut up.
So what are you guys working on?
So we're working on Closer.
Yeah.
It's a 4-person play. Yeah. Hasn't been produced in Des Moines in like 10 to 15 years, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually talking to Max about that earlier. It was done decade and a half ago at Stage West.
Yeah.
It's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah.
So who's putting this new production of Closer on?
Open Door Rep.
Okay.
Which is a theater company that I helped found, and it's new. We've only been around a couple of years, and it's kind of a different... We're trying to do different stuff, different take on things. So
different is good. Different is necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing with it, like the overall philosophy is there's a lot of unnecessary competition within the arts, and we're not interested in that. And it's just different flavors, right? Like, we're just trying to add a different flavor to the mix of performing arts in general. And we're trying to, like, team up with other folks. So, like, in some of our shows, we've had spoken word poets that'll come in and open up the show. And we want to get, like, more performers and other types of artists that are involved with our production. So, I guess in short, it's a pop-up minimalist theater company, so we find site-specific shows and we'll do it wherever we'll find a place that fits with the script that we're doing and kind of work from there. So it's this overlying philosophy, which sounds super cheesy, the 3 P's. You find the right play, you find the right place, find the right people for it. That's your mix.
I like that a whole lot. Yeah. So what has that journey been like in the theater community at large? Like, with a new company that's doing something very, very different?
Yeah.
Especially when you have these kind of like mainstays that just kind of do their thing.
Well, there's a lot of pluses and a lot of minuses with doing this. Like, the theater community at large, I think, is kind of into it because it is different. We'll put on stuff like, we're not beholden to anybody. We're not a nonprofit. We don't have a board. If we don't want to do a show, we don't fucking do it.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay.
This is America. Yeah, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. So we don't want to do a show.
I just wanted to get that out real quick.
Go better.
If we don't feel like doing a show for a while, we just don't do a show for a while. Like, there's nothing that we don't have necessarily full rules. Like, we've got stuff that we got to kind of abide by because we have limitations on what we can do. So it's, There's challenges in the greater community, like just getting people to come to it, to break out of those normal, like with theater in Des Moines, if it's not downtown are on 42nd Street.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like Tallgrass is out on Vine. Like those three spots, then the audience like, oh, you're doing a show? Where at? Coy House? Like, well, no. We're actually doing it in this abandoned warehouse. Right. We're on the north side. Would you like to come there? Oh man, that was a lot of fun too. Like we did one of our last shows was at the Barnum Factory, which I bet your listeners, if they aren't into it yet, they should get into it. It's phenomenal. Like the folks out there are doing awesome stuff. And it was we did it on the third floor. It's this old paint factory that's getting converted into artist studios, and you know, like it's decrepit still on the outside. And so we had people pulling up that are used to going to like a playhouse or the Civic Center or so on, and there's barbed wire fences.
You kind of had to take
where's the valet?
Honey, I don't know.
You had to park like across the street in this kind of abandoned parking lot. You had to like walk to the side of the building along this like train track essentially. It was
no, come down
abandoned.
Get off that
warehouse.
Main road. Go on the side road. Trust us.
Right? Walk into the darkness. There's going to be a guy there. Yeah.
How do we get to the performance space? Well, you have a choice. You can walk up 3-4 flights of stairs, or we can take this old freight elevator.
Sounds like an adventure to me.
I saw that show, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
I saw it a couple different times because I wanted different perspective. I sat in different locations. The notion of putting it in this warehouse was brilliant. It was, you know, like it set the tone for, you know, I think that the notion of pop-up theater and deconstructing the expectation of what theater is or what it can be is so necessary, because I think when you get into this kind of like really maybe commercialized or stereotypical kind of thing, it's like you're stifling the creativity. You're really choking out the potential in a piece of work.
Right.
And so being able to like not only be in a space that's immersive, to be able to watch it from different angles and different perspectives, to see how this blocking works when these characters are talking about this thing, when I'm this close or if I'm watching it from behind, it's a very different read.
Yeah.
You know? And so knowing that like where I'm positioned is going to completely transform my experience with the work, you know, it makes the audience kind of work for it a little bit, you know. I think it's and I'm in that kind of club that I like the kind of critical thought. I like to go in and have an experience and think. And so
that's the whole point of art. You know, it's to make you elicit a reaction.
Well, it should challenge you. It shouldn't just be something that you sit down, watch, and then the second you leave, okay, that was a thing,
right,
and you forget about it. You
TV
should have to
for.
Think about it.
Yeah, right.
And this, one of the things that I really dig about theater, and especially doing it for this type of style, is I love that you said it. You saw it a couple times, and you sat in different spots, because it's very akin to like going to a live music concert, right? Like. Without sounding too artsy, folks, whatever, but one of the things I love about theater is the impermanence and the individual experience of it. Like, you can be sitting right next to your friend, seeing the same show, but your angle is a little bit different. You're going to catch just like a slightly different look from that actor, like, oh. And then it's just a tinge different. Overall, you saw it one night, one of your friends saw it a different night, and they saw a completely different piece of art. You know? Same thing with like rock concerts and so on. Like, somebody could go see a dog shit show by one band, and then the next night, like, same dude's playing, but he's just on fire. And I love it. And I love the risk that's involved with it. And, you know, that's another kind of challenge that we've run into. Like, we've been very fortunate in that we've been able to pull in some non-traditional theater going audiences. Like we're trying to skew younger and bring folks in that wouldn't necessarily go see a big musical or something like that.
Sure.
Something like
you know, with the Cats crowd,
right? Yes, that's the perfect way to describe it. Like, we want some folks
ready
that are
going to
come.
Keeps it real.
We want folks that are going to, like, they want to come in, they want to do something a little challenging, maybe a little, you know, edgier, you know? And with that, there are some challenges, because if you know, everybody's learning something. So even with the traditional theater audiences, it's like, it's a different kind of space. So we got to try to like coach folks. You know, there's no screen here. Don't fucking talk.
Right.
We can hear you. You know, like to throw folks off, and we had to.
I'm literally standing right next to you.
People like trying to catch your eye or something while you're in the middle of a scene. We had to kick a dude out of our show at Dead Dog Park because he was wasted. So we had to put him behind over by the door on the couch and just be like, hey man, cool off.
I'll throw you out of this window.
Right,
like, you made a part of the show. Right?
Yeah.
The angry characters.
Well, you know, I think about like this, albeit kind of whatever, but like the Ibsen plays.
Yeah.
You know, like being able to actually get your audience to a point of debate and riot,
yeah,
because the work is so like, well, this is bullshit. And yeah, you know, like there are stories about how like there were people in the audience that were legitimately arguing with the actors in the middle of the play, like because what was being presented was just so radical that like, oh, I'm not going to stand for this.
See, that's the type of show I would want to be cast.
Right. Yeah. But that's exactly the point. Is that theater, art broadly, but theater specifically, you know, could be in those kind of places. But I feel like we're so complacent now. We go, we sit, we dress up, we do the thing, we politely clap. Yeah. Everyone gives a standing ovation at the end of the show because that's what we're supposed to do, not because we're so moved. Right. But, oh, it's the end, so I have to give the biggest applause that I can, which apparently means standing up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all these like weird things that are now just part of the experience that are programmed in, where there isn't that kind of genuine, like, anything could happen kind of attitude, which is on one hand terrifying, but at the same time so exciting that like at any point like something could pop off and like there's a thing because you have a group of people in a room, you know, well, like
you know, that's kind of the driving reason for it. Like there is absolutely nothing wrong, like if somebody wants to go see like Wicked or Cats or whatever, like because they enjoy it, like good on them. Mm-hmm. Like that has its place. That's you know, the Michael Bay big blockbuster bullshit.
Yeah.
But that's not our flavor. We're coming in with a different flavor. We want people to talk at the end of this. Like, we always invite the audience. We don't have talk back sessions because those are, we find them to be really formal where, you know, if you'd like to stick around and have a discussion, we're going to bring the whole cast back out here and sit them on chairs. That's fine. But we like to just have an informal hangout afterwards. And so talk to each other. Like, don't worry about talking to the actors. If you want to, go for it.
Yeah.
But go find somebody in the audience that you don't know. Like, what the hell did you think about that?
Yeah.
Like, that was wild. Like, have that discussion with your peers.
You know? We legit do that after every movie we go to.
Yeah.
Like, we usually stand in the parking lot or the lobby for, like, another 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what did we just watch?
Well, that's the thing.
Avengers is bullshit.
Yeah. That's the thing. As an artist, you don't necessarily want to finish your production, finish your movie, finish whatever you're working on, creating art. You don't want to have that be finished and then your audience just go, yeah, and then walk away, and that's all they have to say.
I saw it.
Like, yeah, like they check that box, they move on with their life as if nothing just happened.
Share it on
like,
social media at this point. It's here. Yeah. Here's the proof. On to the next thing.
Yeah.
You want to have your audience actually connected to what you were just telling them, the story, the characters, everything, and give them something to like mull over for, not just that next hour, but for a day, for a week, for a month.
So, Charlie,
go back to the theater.
Is this your first production with Open Door?
This is my first production where I've acted with them. I helped out with their first production, just kind of helped out the front desk lobby, set up the wine and all that shit for them and everything.
So nice of you.
That was so nice of me.
people helping people, I love it.
Which, I mean, it's a nice change of pace because when you work at some of these larger theater companies in Des Moines, you have a tendency to, you've got the rehearsal space, you work through the scenes and you rehearse, you do all these things to memorize your lines. You perform the show, and it's, I mean, Madison and I have worked on shows where it's been immersive, so the audience members are in and amongst all the actors, and we're kind of all over the place, and it's...
I pelvic thrusted on all of them.
Which, oh, hi everybody.
Which is
a space for that.
That's a fun way to approach theater because you have to be 100% on all the time, right?
Yeah.
And when you're on the proscenium stage where the audience is separated from the actors, which is a traditional approach to theater, it's an interesting perspective because the audience gets to relax. They get to watch something like a film playing in front of them, and they're separated from it, so they're not so immersed that they feel uncomfortable. But when you're talking about site-specific, the second you walk into that venue, you're in a world. Yeah. And you're creating kind of the sense of, I'm a fly on the wall watching a story unfold, versus proscenium, where you're just in a comfortable theater in a comfy seat watching something play out in front of you. And immersive is kind of that same thing, but a blend between the two. So when you are site-specific, you are immersing yourself to the point where reality kind of bends itself to the show itself.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Josh is so distracted.
That's
right
some
now.
Real deal new dad shit you just did. And I get it because, okay, so there's this family sitting at the table a couple spaces over from us.
Super cute, the dad
just went to give mom a bite of cake, and the little kid goes, ah. I was like, up, I've been there. Props to that kid. Wait,
I love it.
Keep it up.
Is that like when you have like a dog and you go to another person's house that has a dog and you're like, oh, you smell my dog on me.
Right.
That kind of same thing, like,
you smell my baby on me.
Me too, man.
That's real life because my kids used to not like me. Like, just in general, like, little kids, like, if I'd be out somewhere, they'd see me and they would look the other way. And then all of a sudden, I had children, and now all of a sudden, all these kids like me. And I'm still around, like, I love my kids. I need some space for the rest of y'all.
Sir!
Right.
I'm on my break right now.
They're like cats. Like, I'm allergic to cats, but every time I'm around a cat, it does need to wrap itself around me and be all extra friendly. And I'm like, I have no animosity towards you, but respect my bubble.
All right. I'm fairly convinced that cats know when you're allergic, and they're like, oh, I'm going to kill you today.
100%.
Oh, you're allergic? I'm going to kill you today. Yeah.
My tail in your face. Come here.
Have some dander.
What other animal wants to sleep on your face? To something.
Yo, I went to...
Facts.
I had this girlfriend way back in the day, and I went to her family's for like a Thanksgiving meal, and her mom's cat had just had a litter, and like, you know, post-Thanksgiving, you take a nap, and I woke up, and there were legit 9 kittens on me. Like,
how'd you get here?
What is happening? Where did y'all come from? Oh, Jesus, help. Like,
Wake up with a cat on your face. Not the party I signed up for.
That relationship didn't work out. Like, yo, if your mom's cats can't respect my space, how can you respect
my space? We have an issue of respect.
Can't even train your cats right.
You can't handle a cat, you can't handle me.
Oh my god. That's
so good. But we digress.
So what's the experience been like getting ready for this new show? Where is it located? Where is this going down?
Yeah. It's going to be April the 11th through the 20th. It's going to be over at Mainframe. This one's going to be a little bit different because we, like, in terms of tickets, we aren't doing any door tickets. So part of that is, you know, space limitations. That is an artist collective. They don't need people just walking through that place after hours. So that's something that we've worked out with them. So everything's going to be done online. It's a really, really cool spot.
Yeah.
This is specifically, it's in this big photography studio up on the 4th floor. Look out over the city, like giant windows. It's going to be awesome. And this show in particular has had some really, really cool challenges and opportunities from a performance standpoint. Like, it's a fairly well-known show. Like, it's called Closer. I don't even know if we said
that. Did you get there yet?
I said it at the beginning.
There was a name drop, but we haven't quite unpacked what that
is. Well, I mean, this is a movie that came out in 2004. I looked it up.
Right.
With Natalie Portman, Clive Owen...
Jude
Law and Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And it's just a 4-person cast, so it's a small play, but it's essentially 2 couples that are constantly cheating on each other and hooking up with each other.
Yeah. I think it's really kind of poignant now because of so much focus is on the intimacy that these characters are looking for. And that's just something we're losing right now, especially with the rise in social media and dating apps and so on. Like, how do we really connect with people? And if we're not fully connecting, how easy is it to move away from them? You know,
sure.
Like, is it Is it harder, or did it used to be harder to break up with someone and move on? Or is it like right now it's just delete? See, like, yeah. I unfriended them, so now they don't
have it.
Like, they don't exist anymore. And then, like, with doing that kind of show where you're looking at, like, truly an intimate relationship between these four characters and putting it in an immersive experience, the idea is that the audience should feel like voyeurs. Like, like they're seeing parts of these people's lives they shouldn't be seeing. And they're seeing it from 4 feet away, you know, like 2 feet next to them. Like, we're walking right by them, like, oh, God, I can feel the wind as they walk by. Like, I shouldn't be watching this. They're having a serious argument about where their lives are going.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the one of the challenges and I think a unique experience for the audience will get out of this one. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm excited. Yeah,
like, piqued my interest. Absolutely.
It's actually really funny because I had mentioned the show and someone went, like, the movie. And I was like, I don't know. So I'm glad I have that confirmed.
Yeah, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Like the movie.
The movie took a few liberties with the story here and there.
Sure.
But as you do. But the way that we're playing this out, you kind of have two performing spaces, so the audience will kind of be playing tennis a little bit between the different stories that are going on from one scene to the next. And at a couple points, there are two scenes happening at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see the different situations, the relationships, how they're building up, tearing down.
But also what we can catch as an audience having to choose.
Yeah. And there's so many
parts of the story that we want
to... Yeah, there's so many minute moments that, like, you have to look really closely to catch everything that happens with the show, but all the performers from this production are just stellar.
We got a good group.
Yourselves included.
Well, that's why I said that.
I mean, we got half of
it.
We got
half the cast here, yeah.
Phenomenal group of performers. And those other guys.
Like, and we're also in the cast. Yeah. So.
The cast is great. We're in the cast. Did I mention the cast is great?
Join us.
So, not to be that guy, let's talk a bit about the process. Tell me about your character. Tell me about how you get there. If it's a huge departure from you actually are as human beings.
I'm going to let Josh go first.
Oh.
Talk about your character. Just because my character's not the favorite.
Well, that's funny that you say that. Like, as we were working through this, like, there are... The people in this show, it's real, like, slice of life. You pick four folks off the street, and it could be them, potentially. So, with that... We don't have in this play that there is a protagonist and an antagonist and any ancillary characters. There's no set good guy, bad guy. Like, everybody is kind of a piece of shit.
Like in real life, you're average human being.
Right.
So being able to find that balance between, like, why would these people be attracted to each other? And why would they do the terrible things that they do to each other? Like, in the name of love, in the name of intimacy, or just, I need my space, or, you know, I love this line of Charlie's characters, like, it's something like, why do you hate love? And I was like, I don't hate it anymore. So, you know, what a powerful statement, like, especially right now, like, in the age of Tinder and Grindr and so on, like, how quick do our attention spans transfer from person to person? You know, like, how easy is it to just swipe, you know, and then that person is going. So, like, with my character, I'm the older one in the group, and he's a doctor, and, like, it's been really interesting finding his arc. Like, kind of just goes from a dude that's out there looking for a little something, you know, to really looking for intimacy and then getting his heart ripped out, and how does that affect him?
Yeah.
And so finding those moments in your life where you can make that work because you're calling on experiences that have happened, like, to me, he does some really terrible things and he says some really terrible things in this show, but in the first half, you see him looking for love, and then he finds it, and then it gets ripped away from him. And how would you respond? right? Like, how do we, as an audience, respond when that love that you thought was, like, love of a lifetime,
the one,
right, is taken from you or leaves you or whatnot? How do we respond? Like, I think everybody's probably done some terrible things, like, stalking or Facebook stalking, or, you know, showing up at people's works, or like these violent attempts at whatever, or these last ditch efforts, you know, these grand romantic gestures on trying to win the person back. Like, we've all done something like that, and from an outsider's perspective, you're looking at it like, what are you doing? But when you're in the moment and you're in that rapture, right, nothing is below the belt.
Right. This seems like a good idea.
Yeah,
it's not a good idea.
I'm gonna stand outside your house in the rain.
Right.
Yeah.
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 It's all this.
I called you 41 times this afternoon.
Why?
Yeah. Because I needed to talk. You know. If you'd answer, you'd know.
If you'd answer your phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of my take.
Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and my character is, he starts the show just kind of finding this woman on the street that he looks into her eyes while he's in a cab, and she just steps right into the road, gets hit by the cab.
So, like, he found her literally.
Like, literally on the street. So he gets out, helps her to the hospital, gets to know her a little bit, and starts to fall in love with her, right?
Right.
But
as you do when you save someone's life.
Yeah, you know, like you do. But the problem
you saved your life, so...
Right. Who had to make that concussion?
Zip.
Yeah.
Time to repay the
fee. Yeah. But the problem with my character is that he's so impulsive, and he kind of jumps with his emotions a little too quickly, so he doesn't really process what he's doing until it's already done. So he gets into this relationship with this girl, and immediately he starts to get bored with it. She's younger, he doesn't take her as seriously, she absolutely needs him, he doesn't need her. So he starts to get bored of that relationship and meets this other woman and starts getting interested in her. And his problem, I think, is that he is a little too impulsive with his decisions, because he jumps from thing to thing a little too quickly before he really processes what he's doing.
This better be some good-ass milk they're frothing under here.
I know, right? That's some hot-ass milk.
Could be your first time. I don't know.
Well, it's been a long time.
Built up. I gotta,
And I will say, with the challenge with my character is that because he's so impulsive, you kind of have to just, the script gives you the path and you have to follow it. Whether you believe what the character's saying or not, just go with it. I think all four of the characters in the show, we've had to have that conversation of, here's why I like my character, here's why I don't like my character. I need to process the whole journey that they follow. And I think overall, everybody agrees that my character's probably the worst.
Well,
of all of them.
This is a short spectrum, right? Like, they're all not great. That was actually one of the fun parts. So, well, let's talk about the female characters a little bit too, because their impulses and their needs are just as dire, I guess. You know, there's the younger character who's a stripper,
played by Emily Davis,
phenomenal, and her character is just this. There's a lot of notion of what is my self-worth, and she, you know, she walks in front of traffic because she never looks where she's going. Well, if you really value yourself, why would you do something like that?
Yeah.
And so some of the things that she's looking for in love is validation of self, right? And how much does that talk to, again, right now, like, I post something on social media, pull it right up. Did I get any likes? Did I get, you know, like, how many times has my post been shared? That sort of thing. Like, you've got Megan Helmers is on stage for the first time since 2006
for the first time in a play. Last time she was in a role, not like ensemble, it was like 2011.
Yeah. About that.
Well, damn. Yeah,
so welcome back.
She's usually working backstage. Yeah, now she's back on stage.
Directing.
With a fury.
All kinds of cool stuff. And, like, her character is the older of the two women whose husband has left her for a younger woman. So, like, this sort of fleeting of youth and how much, like, society puts on the value of youth and beauty and so on. And she's got a devastating line, right? She says, there's always someone younger. Like, oh, God, what does that do? So she's always on guard.
Right, yeah.
like her character's always on guard because I started talking about those characters. I lost a little bit of where we're heading on this.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, here's what I was gonna say. So this spectrum of these characters not being good, like the four people in this show, we got together last September, I think. So this thing has been in the works for a while.
We've been having chats for a while.
Like just, you know, part of it's scheduling, and again, this comes down to that philosophy of you get the right people. So we're beholden, like I sign up for the rights when we're ready to go.
Right.
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 Like I'll wait for the right people to be in this thing. So last September, we get together, sit outside at Charlie and Megan's. It's the same group. We have a read through, like a cold read, basically. Everybody's got their script. There's no rehearsal or anything. We're just reading through this. And it was just banging right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And we got done. We're outside, like, oh.
God, I feel terrible.
We got to do this show.
Right. Like,
we got to do this. Now we got to do it. Like, now we got to do it.
You know, so that'll speak to some of your audience, and we'll speak to some of our audience too. Like, that's real intriguing. Other people won't want to see something like that.
Well, there are people who simply want to be entertained.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, maybe this isn't.
And this will entertain you, but this will challenge you.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Like, we're. The audience that we're looking for is that kind. Like, come in here. And let's go around.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah. Who else is on the creative team?
Marnie Strait is directing.
Hey.
Her first gig in a little bit. Yeah, she's awesome. Kyle Bocart,
okay.
Sarah Beth Weinberg are our stage managers. That's about it.
Your lovely wife has been helping out on the production side. April Dean.
She does everything.
Yeah.
Like, literally everything. Like, she's just doing some sound design, set design, light design. Like,
she came over for a costume parade at our house last night. We had a late night drunk read-through.
She does all of the marketing.
Line bash.
Yeah, of course.
Like you do.
She's the star of the show.
Basically.
The right
this company wouldn't do anything for her. Like, she's heart and soul and every bit of pain and labor. She'd that's because of her.
But really, that's like it. Like, we've had help from some friends on certain elements throughout the show. Yep. Nick Strickland, Marty's husband, helped us create a video that's going to play during the show. Yep.
Mike Meacham, he got us a little bit of sound effects in there. Our friend Elise, like, she's done some of the costume stuff a little bit, but it's a small group of folks.
Yeah.
It was a weird
group. Well, I love the idea when a community can come together to make a thing happen. And this is not the same... Like, it's like related to, but not the same as being a community theater, right?
Right.
It's a theater community coming together to make moments like this and make shows like this happen. I think it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing.
And the intersectionality with the greater arts community too, doing a new mainframe with the different arts studios and what they do down there. So let's do it.
More of that, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So none of this one show a year thing, okay?
Yeah, we got some stuff in the works.
Listen, they just had a baby six months ago.
Yeah, there was some time that we had to take for that. But, you know, the other...
All
the other
various excuses.
Yeah, right.
Get that baby.
Listen,
I
was honestly trying to get a play going.
That baby got hands, that baby can work.
Make that baby put some light up.
Right.
His fat little fingers. Trying to run a light board, like, just lights going on.
But hey, little small hands. I can reach in.
She can do sound. It'll be fine.
She might have some notes. You never know.
Hey.
She's got opinions. She doesn't have the words for me yet, but she will.
Is this baby's first call shout out in a podcast?
Yeah.
The star is born.
Yeah. Oh, she's just the sweetest, too. Just the sweetest. But yeah, we're, you know, trying to do other types of stuff. Like, we, you know, along the lines of doing shows that reach out to a different type of audience, we want to make it accessible, too. So, like, this is, it's, we're not nonprofit. We don't have donors or sponsors or anything like that. It's just out of our pocket. But we set the ticket prices as low as possible. So it's $12.
Yeah.
It's like going to a movie, basically. So, again, not knock to anybody that's charging more. It's like we've kind of learned how to keep costs as low as possible. And that's part of the minimalist aspect of it.
Sure.
So, like, we try to keep costs low and make it accessible so that folks that can't afford that bigger ticket price, you know,
some of the drop $150 at the Civic Center.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's if you if you're going to see a show, you're probably going to go out and grab some dinner, grab some drinks, maybe do something afterwards. Mm-hmm. You're up into the triple digits easy.
Yeah.
So at least this helps a little bit.
Yeah.
Trying to cut down some. So we want to make it accessible and just being real, like not every demographic has money. Just throw around. Like theater does have this elitist sort of thing that doesn't need to happen.
Yes, we've discussed that before. The Hamilton show.
Yeah. Which, guys, that we're touching on. So like,
no, go ahead. Speak your truth.
It just,
how do you feel?
It kills me because the folks that should be seeing that can't afford to see the damn thing. You know, you've got $800 tickets in Chicago so all these rich old white folks can come see this show with hip-hop done by minority cast members. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Do at least one show a week and bring in school kids from underprivileged communities and put on a free show.
Actually, my beef is actually on the same point, but on the other side. It's the same people that will spend $800 to go see Hamilton that will talk shit about the culture.
Yeah.
You know, won't support actual rappers. Right. And this is no insult to any actor playing these roles, but like legit talented lyricists and MCs, DJs, and all this kind of stuff. Like, there's, how can you fear the culture on one hand and then drop $1,000? You know what I mean?
But I think part of that is well, kinda, subject matter one.
But because it's about immigration, it's about war, it's about conflict.
It's about an underdog.
It's all under that mask of the people that are on your money versus the people who
might lock your doors if
they walk past your car. And we've experienced
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it's... And I guess that's why my beef isn't so much with the production itself, because you're also putting in these brown faces in the roles of these founding fathers. Mm-hmm. So the notion of seeing...
Which they're also currently catching flag for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the notion of being able to see a black or Asian George Washington is like such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
I'm not racist. I saw Hamilton.
Right. But then you get shit like that where you're like, nah, my man.
No, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
You know, I think that safe space is part of it, though. Like, they'll shell out the money to go see something like that because it's in that building with those cushy seats.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I love that point that you make. Like, go listen to some real hip hop artists. Like, not that Lin-Manuel isn't. Like, he's clearly gifted.
Yeah, right?
But go listen to some folks that grew up living in that situation and listen to what they're saying, like the really gifted ones.
And he openly acknowledges that he rips some of his lines and his cadences from other rappers, from like legends legit. Like, and he recognizes, like, Game has to recognize Game. And like, that's part of the thing too, is like, of course you can't help but bite someone's style, but you acknowledge that, like, I came up listening to so-and-so, and that's why I matched. Like the Ten Dual Commandments is a direct rip from Biggie's 10 Crack Commandments.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but if you're not doing the homework to know that, you know, like, you kind of miss the point, and you miss that kind of wink and nod, that Easter egg that's like, hey, you remember the 10 Crack Commandments? You know, like, of course they don't.
Yeah. You think someone should make like a web series of people seeing like Hamilton, and then right after them playing like the songs that the inspiration comes from.
Yeah.
It's just like when you have like the old people who are like listening to new hip hop and the samples, and they'll be like, oh, this was my shit. And then all of a sudden, like, something completely different comes on. Like, wait a minute.
What is this? What is going on here? Who played this? What?
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Then a little tangent on that.
Yeah.
On Hamilton.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, it's necessary. I mean, that's part of the, absolutely, I think the critical conversation is like, it can't always just be rapturous applause.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have to really unpack like what the thing is and how it's you know, like, it's the same issue of like this farce that is colorblind casting.
Yeah.
Right? Like, of course, like, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like who you choose to put in a role affects your perception of, absolutely, all of the roles of the entirety of the work.
But we cast a black person in that role. Racism solved, right?
Oh, God.
Get out.
I love that movie.
Not racist. I bought Get Out.
Oh, I saw Hamilton.
No. It's not okay. but it's like that same kind of thing where it's like, you have to be mindful of these things and be aware of the impression that gives.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just, like, yeah, you don't get to just check that box and just pat yourself on the back and be like, hey, you got brown people in this one. Like, okay, cool. But what does that really then mean for the work, for the audience, for, you know, all those
I think, too, in theater, I think it's a very important, because as you were saying, like, every show is going to be different. Every time you experience it, it's going to be something different. So I think it's also important to get those people who are going to bring their own histories, traumas, experiences to the roles in order to be able to share that, you know, give people a different viewpoint.
Because I guarantee four black actors in Closer would be a very, very different production of Closer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, just with that one detail changed alone.
Yeah. Well, you put one... You change out one guy or
just one even guy, one, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a different conversation. Like, you know, there's a part where my character, gal, leaves him for this other guy. It's like, is he better at sex than me? Like, that's a different conversation, right? Like, if you're talking about somebody
is it true?
Like,
is it true?
Better?
What they say, is it true?
Faithful listeners, it is true. And as my friend Ryan likes to say, black men don't cheat.
That's true.
Cheers.
Oh. Hey. Oh. I mean, I'm empty, but. But yeah.
Yeah.
We don't.
No. Pour something in here. Come on.
Yeah. No, that's a wonderful point. Yeah, just casting colorblind for the sake of it is such a
it's a dangerous game.
Is
what it is.
Yeah, you're really compromising integrity.
You gotta acknowledge and celebrate those differences.
Right. And what are you saying to the audience? You know,
like,
hey, you'll love this because look what we did. Pat us on the back too. Like,
right.
Like, the audience should question stuff like that.
Ray Davis and I had the same kind of conversation about what was the musical she was just in?
Fun Home.
Yeah. Because first off, there was this kind of like. Kind of, and this is no shade to Iowa Stage, but there was a little bit of like back patting going around. Like, we've got a black Allison, like it's progressive, right? Like, great, we've got this black this main character, black woman, not non-traditional, but like here we have this thing. And then there was the issue that was coming up that wasn't really being discussed was like they had another actor. Who ended up not working out, but the actor that they had as Allison's father was having these extramarital homosexual relationships with a young man who happened to also be a black man in every role, like completely changes your impression and the conversation that needs to be had when you have an older man having predatory relationships with other young black men and then also then having a black adopted daughter. Right? Like that is a completely different set of circumstances that have to be discussed in just making a couple of casting choices. Right? Which definitely makes the subject matter a lot heavier than maybe was intended. But if the creative team is not aware of those decisions and those ramifications and the implications of all those choices, like, are you really scratching the surface of the work that you're really doing? You know, because... In that context, the notion of Allison's father not just being in a closeted scenario, but also now being kind of a predator, like
kind of fetishist.
Yeah, and then fetishized, exactly. Like, there's so many other things that like definitely like makes this guy like not a good guy, which I think then in some ways makes it, I think, a little more realistic, because sometimes the people that we love the most, our parents and our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, sometimes are the worst and most problematic people, but we love them anyway, right? How do we find the compassion and the depth to love someone who does such terrible things,
right?
That's such a deep story that, you know, then doesn't really become the conversation because they're not thinking of that because they can't see the ticker tape parade for like getting a black actress to play a lead role.
Well, and it's such a unique time right now because representation in all respects, you know, like not just race or gender or anything, but you're talking about shows now that require actors with disabilities. You know, like, do you cast a blind actor to play a blind role, and what does that entail? Like, is it a matter of representation? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's involved with that. Like,
yeah.
Stage stops at one point, you know, and they got to be very spatially aware. Like, so there's precautions that got to be taken, and so on. Like, it's such a unique time. Like, finding the right people to tell the story correctly is a big deal. Like,
yeah.
With Dead Dog Park, that was the thing for us. Like, first of all, we made the commitment when we started this company. Like, we want more folks to be able to tell stories, not just the same old folks every time. So, commitment was female directors for the first X number of shows. We're stuck by that. One of those directors was Tiffany over at Pyramid, who was the person that she had to be the one that helped tell the Dead Dog Park story. And it was a scary one for us to do. It's like, you know, it's my wife and I, can we put this show on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but if you find the right people that are representative and will tell the story in the way that it needs to be told, do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and we found that was part of our piece of it. Like, giving a platform, like, well, why shouldn't we? If we're, isn't this practicing what we're preaching, right? Like, let's do our part to help those stories get out there, right? I'm not going to direct that.
Yeah.
That's not my story to tell.
Right.
I'm old. Like,
well, that's the difference between presenting and pandering.
Right.
It's really what it comes down to.
Yes. That's perfect.
Nailed it.
Give a platform and do your part to help. But get out of the way when you need to shut the fuck up and let this story happen. Just get out of the way, right?
And I
think that's happened a little bit with this. Like, I think it would be a vastly different show with Closer, especially with all these the intimacy stuff, and the, you know, there's some tough physical stuff that happens in here, like having a male director versus a female director might be a different thing, and like, how does that look right now?
Sure,
you know,
sure. Yeah.
There's some heavy things that'll happen, and I think it is better to have that perspective in the storytelling. And Marnie handles this thing with she's just a master at it. Like, she's been able to like craft this story and get performances out of us that.
Well, Marnie's been beast since like 2002, so
So that all being said, where can we go get tickets to Closer?
Opendoorrep.com.
That's it.
That's the website with all the information for cast, location, everything, and tickets are available on there. There are only 6 performances, Thursday through Sunday, April 11th through the 20th. So, again, you're not going to get tickets at the door. You got to get them in advance.
Okay. No matinees.
No matinees.
Because there's windows in this place. And we learned that with one of our last shows.
No curtains. Like,
yeah.
that was a lot of fun. Once we got one of the other ones up and running, set up for the matinee, we're like, oh, shit.
Insane. 2 a.m. You know, wait
so
a minute.
I'm up there doing the curtain speech. I'm like, hey, so here's something that we just learned today.
You know, I learned something
to the audience.
Put that in the production notes.
Right.
Note to self.
Audience members, when the lights dim, could you just close your eyes for a second?
Just imagine yourself.
There's no blackout in this scene. Okay.
It's interactive.
Yeah. Everyone close your eyes?
Did you see all the actors walk off?
Everyone turn around?
Everyone walks on with a sign, close your eyes.
Hey, what's that? We're done now.
Oh, God. Walk across with open your eyes. Nobody's open.
Opendoorrep.com.
Yep.
Tickets are $12.
$12.
6 shows.
Thursday through Sunday. April 11th through 20th.
No walk-ups.
No walk-ups.
Get your shit in advance.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. That's it. I mean, it's small number of seats, too, because we got to... I mean, it's small space. It's not set up for...
It's not a theater.
300-seat audiences. This is,
less than 100.
50 or 60 seats, I think, per show is all. So... They're going. Everybody's like, "Oh, geez, seats are going fast," but they are. So,
they actually are.
Yeah. So do it.
I think that'll play well into the whole. I mean, the show's about intimacy. Why not?
Right.
Intimate space.
Yeah. Like absolutely. Cool. Yeah.
Well, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up,
and Susie's Sweet Treats. Seek and greeting is love, not cocaine.
Any last words?
Go see the show. Get your tickets. Support local arts and artists. Treat yourself.
Yes, treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Yes.
Because really, what better way to flex on hoes than to treat yourself?
Exactly. That's the ultimate flex.
It's true.
Is living your best life. Any last words, Josh, Charlie?
Get your tickets quick. Yeah, come see this guy.
Thank you guys for letting us come on.
Thanks so much. And for having me back on. Yeah, I thought you kicked me out last time.
Well. You're on a promotionary
status. I didn't bring the cookies.
We kick people off all the time.
Yeah. But of course, thanks for listening. Give them a like and a follow on all the social media things, of course, and us as well.
Right.
We'll see you next time.
Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right, peace.